Monica DeSantis. The FBI has issued an alert to law enforcement agencies warning of likely terrorist attacks here in the U.S. The alert comes on the heels of what has been described as increased chatter among terrorists. In spite of new fears of a terrorist attack, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge has told a congressional panel that the U.S. is safer now than it was 20 months ago. Fears of more terrorist attacks have prompted the U.S. Embassy in Saudi Arabia to close some of its missions in the country. A statement from the embassy said some strikes may be imminent. The embassy and consulates general in Jeddah and Dhahran will be closed starting tomorrow. Today's announcement comes after Saudi Arabia's ambassador to Washington said that he believes the bombers behind last week's attack in Riyadh were planning a much bigger terrorist strike. At least four U.S. Marines are dead following the crash of a CH-46 helicopter in Iraq. Officials with the Pentagon say the chopper went down yesterday in a waterway near Karbala, about 70 miles southwest of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. There was no indication the crash was due to enemy fire. Israeli and Palestinian officials are in Tokyo for a two-day conference. Both sides agree that they need to adopt the roadmap for peace and put an end to the conflict. Palestinian Cabinet Affairs Minister Yasser Abd Rabu says both sides want more than just a temporary settlement of the events that are going on each day.
They don't want to cool down the situation because the experience of both sides, of both peoples, had shown that cooling down or taking temporary measures is not enough.
Former Israeli Minister of Justice says that the meeting has been an opportunity to exchange views to support the roadmap wholeheartedly. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 13 points, NASDAQ up 2 points, and the S&P up 3 points.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquid Gels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquid Gels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquid Gels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquid Gels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquid Gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Investigators are back in the waters of San Francisco Bay searching for more evidence that may be connected to the murders of Lacey Peterson and her unborn child. Her husband, Scott, is charged in the killings. Meanwhile, Amber Frey, who had an affair with Scott Peterson, has hired attorney Gloria Allred to represent her during the upcoming court proceedings. Allred stresses Amber will refuse all interviews.
She will do nothing whatsoever to undermine her credibility as a witness. She will not do any interviews, whether they are paid or unpaid, prior to her testimony in this case.
Frey claims she did not know Scott Peterson was married when she was seeing him.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
A New York City eye doctor has admitted to billing for procedures that were never performed or unnecessary surgeries on mentally ill residents of some of the city's adult homes. According to the New York Times, Dr. Shaul Debbie has pleaded guilty to billing for more than 10,000 needless services from 1998 through 2001. The procedures ranged from cataract surgery to routine eye examinations. The Colonial Golf Tournament in Fort Worth, Texas, is getting plenty of media coverage this year. Normally, about 200 reporters cover the PGA event, but because it features the first woman player in the men's tournament in 58 years, the number is expected to be triple that. The LPGA's Annika Sorenstam will be competing against 123 men in the Colonial this week. And the producer of the Matrix films wants to make it clear the movies are just fantasy. Joel Silver responded to stories of accused killers who are using the movies as part of their defense. The Matrix Reloaded opened last week. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, running whitewater rapids. What a thrilling spring sport. In a raft. But in a car, it's a ride that may literally take your breath away. When I come back, I'll bail you out.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
No one intentionally confuses cars for recreational rafts. But if you find yourself in a stream of late-melting snows or heavy spring rains, remember the kid's toy, a pogo stick. P-O-G-O. P, pop seat belts, after you go in water, because they protect you on impact. O, open the window quickly, especially if you have power windows. G-O, get out. No explanation necessary. So make sure your whitewater adventure is with a guide and a paddle. Heed warnings of washed out roads. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome to the program today. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're also rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. on the web at radiopower.org. Welcome. Welcome. We put up an article on common dreams today. It went up late yesterday afternoon. That was an outgrowth of a talk radio convention or seminar. I'm not sure what you'd call it. A bit of both. It was called the New Media Seminar, but it was really more of a convention kind of thing that I attended this last weekend in New York. And Chuck Morse, who is a conservative talk show host in Boston, and who has been on this show before, a friend, was also in New York, and so I actually had an opportunity to meet him for the first time. We just talked on the radio in the past. And so I invited Chuck to be on our program today and talk about this and some of the other things in the news. I thought it would be interesting for us to contrast our perspectives. I think that's one of the things that talk radio does well. So, Chuck Morse, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you for inviting me on, Tom.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you here. Chuck's website is chuckmorse.com, and he's a talk show host in Boston. Is there any part of your bio? Oh, you're also an author, Chuck. You have,
that is correct, yep.
A couple of books that
the
are available on your
factor,
website.
59 Socialists in Congress.
Yes, yes, those nasty socialists in Congress. They call themselves Democrats, right?
That's right.
Are there any that are Republicans? If there's 59 of them, there must be a few Republicans who are also socialists.
There might be, but I don't think so. Not in the list of... that are members of the Progressive Caucus.
Ah. Oh, so you're going beyond the Senate. Okay, I'm doing my math in the wrong house.
Right.
Okay, great. Chuck, to start out with, last night, or the night before, I forget which it was, I was listening to Sean Hannity, who, you know, Sean and, what's his name, Alan Colmes,
yep.
got that award at the conference that you and I were at, the Free Speech Award that Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine so eloquently presented. And I heard Hannity ask Geraldine Ferraro a question, and he set it up. This is what's known in debating as serial double binds. It's a classic kind of rhetorical trick where you tell a series of things that assume things that may or may not be true, and then you ask a question. I remember once I was watching a news conference, and Richard Nixon was asked a question of this sort by a member of the press. They said something to the effect of, you know, now that so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, what do you think about, you know, how can you justify such and such?
It's a classic legal maneuver. It's kind of the classic, so now that we know you beat your wife.
That's right, and that was Nixon's response. He said, no, and I don't beat my wife any longer either.
Right.
So anyhow, Sean asked Geraldine Ferraro something to the effect of, well, now that this president has won a war and liberated a people, why can't you liberals just get online and be nice to him? And it occurred to me to come up with a variation on this same thing. And so I'll ask you this question, and we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how
you handle it. Okay. It's probably a little longer than Sean's. I'm not quite as tight with words. But anyhow, he says, George Bush lied to his own citizens and to the world about why he wanted to attack Iraq, handed billions in oil and reconstruction dollars over to his campaign contributors, and the company that is still today paying his vice president has allowed thousands of tons of nuclear materials we've known about for decades to fall into the hands of looters and potential terrorists, and is now preparing to pull out our troops and create the same sort of hellish scenario he did in Afghanistan. The world looks at this and his campaign stunt on the USS Abraham Lincoln and knows he went AWOL during the Vietnam War and wonders how American conservatives can so easily swallow this man's distortions of the truth. How do conservatives do it, Chuck?
Well, I guess that to answer part of the question, the materials that you're mentioning in Iraq, and this was mentioned by the UN Inspector Baradei, Mohammed Baradei,
he thinks he should be back in there. He's concerned about
these weapons of mass destruction that he says now are in Iraq, but we haven't found them yet, were obviously already in the hands of terrorists when they were under the control of the regime of Saddam Hussein. Now,
let's just correct the record here. Al-Baradei is talking about, and the press is talking about, the thousands of pounds of yellow cake uranium and depleted uranium and nuclear waste that were there for the Iraqi domestic reactor, the Iraqi domestic nuclear program that was bombed by the Israelis, that American companies played a role in. We've known about that stuff all along. It was all sitting there with UN seals on it, and it got looted. And much of it is missing. Much of it actually was looted by people looking for containers to carry water, and they would take these 55-gallon drums, empty out the powdered radioactive waste, and go off of the drums. And this is well documented. I don't think anybody, I can say with certainty, nobody's saying these are weapons of mass destruction. The issue was that
nuclear material had been under the control of Saddam Hussein, and that what we're dealing with right now, and I think that the left is becoming quite isolationist, if I can use an old term, is a kind of a war that is of an international nature. It is a world war. I don't know if you saw the interview with one of the people who was convicted of bombing the hotels in Bali that killed 200 Australians. He said, look, this is a world war. We're going to crush the West. And I believe them. I think they've already demonstrated this. It's not the old-fashioned 19th century conventional war where you have a general wrap on some epaulets and hop on a white horse. This is a new kind of a war, and it's not necessarily easy to determine how to fight it. I don't think the Democrats have any particular ideas either. All we can do is the best we can, but we're dealing with a new paradigm now.
Well, Chuck, this raises two interesting questions. One is the thing that you and I talked about briefly when we were in Boston was the act of terrorism on 9/11 actually a crime or an act of war? And the second is, how do nations respond to things like this? I mean, if we look at, for example, the experience of the British against the Americans, you know, they actually declared a war and lost. In 1776, if you look at the response of the British and the Irish, another example of empire being challenged or a nation being challenged by people who feel they've been wronged. Ultimately, the British decided that they had to negotiate and work things out. You know, bin Laden, did you ever read the long letter that bin Laden published before 9/11?
Yes, I did. It was republished in the London Times.
Yeah, it was also
and
in the New York Times.
And I think it's very revealing in terms of the nature of, you know, the radical Islamic slash leftist slash Nazi view of a
well,
world
hang on
conflict.
Just a second. Let's not use leftist
Islam.
And Nazi in the same phrase. I mean, but we can argue that one later. Let's not get into rhetorical tricks here.
not at all. I mean that point blank. It's not a trick.
Yeah, I know you believe it. Yeah. Okay.
And in fact, we'll be publishing a book on it later this year.
Yeah, but Bin Laden's main point was that he wanted the American infidels who were profaning the sacred ground of Saudi Arabia to leave Saudi Arabia. He was basically upset, and he says that, and he said it very clearly, that we had established military bases in Saudi Arabia in 1991 during the Gulf War under Bush Sr., and that we stayed there. And he said if we left, he would stop bombing us, and now we're leaving.
You know, here, I have a quote from that article, which is in the Al-Quds al-Arabi, and republished in the London Times. He proclaimed a jihad in the name of, quote, the World Islamic Front, which is an interesting intermingling between traditional Islamic and modern leftist revolutionary language. He goes on to say that, he's expecting a bloody war to kill Americans and their allies, both civil and military. Quote, by God's leave, we'll call on every Muslim who believes in God and hopes for a reward to obey God's command to kill the Americans and plunder their possessions wherever he finds them and whenever he can. Likewise, we call on all the Muslim ulema, which is a very imperialistic concept, this idea of Muslim control over all of its sphere, and it's part of the Islamic faith.
Let me just pause you there, because I think we're getting a little bit off topic, and we've got a caller on the line, and I want to get him in here before we go to our first break. Will in Atlanta is on the line with Tom Hartman and Chuck Morse. Will, welcome to the program, to the Tom Hartman Show.
Appreciate it, Tom. Just any time anybody mentions about Bush back in during his time in the National Guard, I think there needs to be clarification. It's worse than just that he went AWOL to go and work on the Alabama politics.
Right.
In 1968, that was my year that I got out of high school and I didn't want to do college. There was a window where it was illegal for the military to call up the Guard or Reserve for service in Vietnam.
Right.
Johnson issued an executive order to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the door got closed because it filled up so quickly that from the headquarters, from the Guard and Reserve headquarters, they were filled and you could not get in. There was an 18-month waiting list to get into the Guard and Reserve.
I joined the Air Force. So.
Say again?
Never mind. My personal stories aren't all that relevant. Continue. I'm sorry.
Not at all. So the point is, for the people that are 52, that got out of high school in 68, know about this, or older, or 4 years older, because that's when they got out of college.
Yeah.
But you could not get into the Guard or Reserve after about March of 68.
Right.
There was an 18-month waiting line. So when Bush got in, and this has been confirmed by the former Texas Speaker of the House in Texas, Bush slid under a locked door after cutting in front of an 18-month waiting line, where people were being drafted out of that waiting line, that 18-month-long waiting line. So there was really no lower, more despicable alternative to take during Vietnam. I mean, the people who broke their knees or went to Canada or lied were more honorable than the hypocrites who cheated through political and corrupt family connection to get into the Guard after it was illegal for the military to use them. And it's no wonder that Bush was able to affect this, because we know his father was in on the Kennedy hit to put us there to begin with. And
we don't know that, but his father was a member of Congress at the time.
No, we know that the Hunt versus Liberty Lobby jury found in their judgment, you can read this in Plausible Denial by Mark Lane on page 322, that the CIA had killed President Kennedy, so therefore Hunt was not afforded the opportunity to receive any damages for defamation of character. And we know from the FBI telephone memo from Graham Kitchell.
We're coming up against a break. Good point, and thank you for sharing it. And with regard to Kennedy, who knows? I mean, but
it's
pretty clear. Okay, well, I won't dispute that. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back in just a minute with Tom Hartman and Chuck Morse on the Tom Hartman Program.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, where we're helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. We have Chuck Morris on the line today. Chuck is a radio talk show host in the Boston area, the author of a couple of books, and has a website, chuckmorse.com, M-O-R-S-E. And Chuck is a dedicated conservative, and we're discussing some of the issues of the day. Chuck, our last caller, we only have about 4 minutes in this segment, then we'll have a little more time after the bottom of the hour. But our last caller asked, and what I'd like to do is get into this issue of, will the Bush tax cuts for millionaires harm democracy with you? And what is the real conservative agenda here? But Will in Atlanta was raising the issue, which is being talked about more and more, about how George Bush was AWOL for 18 months. How do conservatives deal with that?
Well, you know, look, obviously rich guys like Bush and like Al Gore, who was babysat in Vietnam for 4 months and kept behind the lines, not to mention Bill Clinton, who didn't serve at all and has rich friends. They didn't go to Vietnam, and this is obviously a major problem. But in these few seconds, I just want to address one thing from the last segment. You brought up the article by Bin Laden. I would consider it a public service for me to let left liberals know what was in that article. And let me just finish quoting it.
All
by
right.
God's leave, we call on every Muslim who believes in God and hopes for reward to obey God's command to kill Americans and plunder their possessions wherever he finds them and wherever he can. Likewise, we call on the Muslim ulema and leaders and youth and soldiers to launch attacks against the armies of the American devils and against those who are allied with them from among the helpers of Satan. For those who respond to this call, the conflict is clearly a war to the death between Muslims and unbelievers. The latest phase in a struggle that has been going on for more than 14 centuries since the time of the Prophet Muhammad, the
right,
revelation
Chuck.
In the Quran, and the advent of Islam. So I think
yeah,
that tells
we'll get
us
it,
what
Chuck.
We're dealing
yeah.
with.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into a snoozer here, but yeah, I agree.
Well, I imagine that, I think this could be more riveting.
Yeah, although you didn't quote the part where he said that Americans should get out of Saudi Arabia.
Well, the important point is this outlines the nature of the conflict. And
sure.
I think that people who are isolationists on the left need to wake up. No one has
the
answer in terms of how to fight this thing, but this has to be responded to, or we're not going to have a future.
I don't disagree. And I was the guest on a very right-wing show out of the western United States last weekend, the weekend before last, for a couple of hours. And those guys don't think that we should be overseas either. They want to put up a wall around the United States. I don't think this is left or right. I think there are people who are taking isolationist positions on both sides. I'm not one of them, and obviously you aren't either.
Right.
So
I agree on that.
So it sounds like in answer to your question about how do conservatives deal with Bush being AWOL during Vietnam, the answer is that you go back to bashing Clinton.
No, you go back and look at the entire Vietnam War is filled with people of privilege whose children
like John
got
McCain?
A pass, and Bush isn't the only one. But he probably did. There's no question.
Yeah. It'll be interesting
problem.
To see how that bites him, or if that bites him, during the campaign. You know, there's an interesting article in, I think it was the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. Yeah, here it is. This was the Wall Street Journal on last Friday. And the Wall Street Journal, of course, is quite open about the fact that their bias is to the right. And I think we can all agree on that.
Sure, fair enough.
And the article is Bush's dividend tax cut gains in Senate. And it starts out, a Senate proposal to temporarily repeal dividend taxes and fully restate them in 2007 is the latest example of a new trend in Congress, approving massive tax cuts that vanish after a few years. And such gimmicks have allowed President Bush and Congress to claim credit for tax code changes while minimizing the price tag. And, we need to get into this in a little more detail, but this is like smoke and mirrors, and I think we need to talk about it. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Honey, why are you wallpapering?
Hmm?
I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In one of the largest settlements of its kind in U.S. history, 95 former employees of the Alaska Pulp Corporation will share in an $11.75 million settlement from the company over a 16-year-old unfair labor practices case. It involved a strike which ended in 1987. At that time, Alaska Pulp refused to hire back 95 of the strikers. The settlement covers the workers' back pay and pension benefits over the 16-year period, averaging out to about $124,000 per worker.
Today's scheduled strike by 3,000 Twin Cities hospital workers has been called off thanks to a tentative contract struck late last week. The deal is an improvement to what hospital managers had called their last best and final offer last March. If they approve the contract, members of Service Employees International Union Local 113, who include janitors, nurses, aides, dietitians, and others, will see annual wage increases of 4% and a reduction in out-of-pocket medical expenses.
As many as 60 million Indian workers, mostly in government and the banking, insurance, and petroleum industries, will take part in a one-day strike tomorrow in protest of government privatization plans. Many of the workers hope the show of resistance will provide a political reality check and cause politicians to delay the privatization drive until the next round of general elections are over. Those are scheduled for next year.
Another retail clothing chain is under fire for its dress code policies. A lawsuit filed recently in a California court charges that employees of 51 Chico's clothing stores were illegally forced to purchase their store's apparel and accessories as a condition of employment. The plaintiffs say their clothes are effectively uniforms, which employers in California are required to pay for. Similar lawsuits are pending against Ralph Lauren, Abercrombie & Fitch, and The Gap. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. If you want to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We've got Dave in Pennsylvania and Dave in San Francisco. We're talking with Chuck Morse, who's a conservative talk show host in Boston. ChuckMorse.com is his website. And Chuck and I will listen and comment here. Dave in Pennsylvania, welcome to the program.
There is a critical difference between, I'm talking about Bush, Clinton, Vietnam, et cetera, that whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me change.
Go ahead.
There. Okay, there is a critical difference.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Clinton, his actions were significant. In the case of Bush, they are not significant.
Okay.
Okay? I'll tell you why. It is because it is quite obvious, and I should say that I'm not really much of a Bush family fan, but it is quite obvious that at some point in Bush's life, he decided he had a talk with himself, and he decided to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, faith was obviously a part of that.
Yeah, around the age of 40.
Yes. However, uh-huh. It's pretty apparent to me, and this is a judgment call and somewhat a matter of aesthetics, I suppose, that Clinton, on the other hand, did not undergo such a conversion. And so every time I hear this talk about Bush and the National Guard, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Dave, thank you very much for your opinion. I appreciate it. I understand what you're saying, and I agree that Bill Clinton has not become a born-again Christian the way that George Bush has, but I think that it's hard to say that somebody who has become president of the United States has not grown up in some way, although clearly there was a moral lapse there. I'm not sure that there's a... Anyway, Dave in San Francisco, you wanted to talk about Islamic economics. Go ahead.
Hi, Tom. It's so funny to hear these Republicans and apologists for the Bush family say, Billy did it. And whether it's murder or whether it's drug dealing, whether it's, the rape and essentially the murders that have just happened, Billy did it first. So, I'm waiting for somebody to get into the ethics of that. But as you had a previous caller before the ads there, and he was talking about bin Laden. And
That's Chuck Morris. He's on the line with us right now.
Oh, okay. Are you familiar with the economics of Islamic law and Moses' law?
Yeah, you mean the fact that you can't charge people interest?
Exactly. And so the whole concept of economics as we see it here in the Western world is not only does it defy the laws of science and it defies the law of nature, in other words, that some planners on some board of directors somewhere might say that we want to sell enough Fritos in China so that we'll bring it up to 25% of the Chinese will be eating Fritos by the year 2010. Well, there may not be enough corn on the planet to do it, but the reality is that these people will try, and there may not be enough water on the planet to pull it off. There may not be enough shipping cargo ships to be able to pull it off, but they'll still try. And,
yeah, this is the problem with the idea that growth is the only solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Moses.
So to wrap this up, Dave.
Well, Moses and Thomas Jefferson and people have been dealing with this issue for thousands of years because, these dumbasses up in the princes of power keep trying it. And they essentially have made a desert out of northern Africa. They've made a desert out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak, the Tigris and Euphrates and Ethiopia. And so the idea that... I'm no apologist for bin Laden, but the concept of Moses where you cannot money cannot have children, interest rates are when a dead thing has children. Money is not alive, and God did not create money, but yet this money has children. And the interest rates demand that we get more out of a 24-hour day than that 24-hour day can provide.
Yeah, good point, Dave.
Exactly, and the concept that we're being faced with as modern Americans is that are we going to force the rest of the world to live on this crap, or is the rest of the world going to have to stand up and defy it? Even though we've got endless military might, that's coming from a finite amount of copper and raw materials buried in the ground that we're going to turn into bombs and blow up, or we could turn them into plowshares and do something positive with it. So,
got it, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that very much, and I think you're making some good points there. I wonder what Chuck's thoughts are on this, and then we've got Mark in Dallas on the phone who wants to make some comments about Clinton. Chuck, your thoughts on Islamic... actually, Chuck, I was in Germany a couple of weeks ago, and a friend of mine shared a book that's in German with me.
Right.
It just very recently came out, saying that the whole thing in the Middle East is really about the fact that we're trying to impose Western-style banking on the Islamic world.
I think
where
that book was
pretty
published
much
by
exist.
Someone in the Lyndon LaRouche organization. But anyway, Tom,
may well have been.
Your callers certainly have very fecund imaginations, and I generally avoid and don't comment on cockamamie conspiracy theories about President Bush or anyone else, unless we see something more concrete. As far as interest is concerned, when a person or entity A lends something to person or entity B, they have a right to expect a price for that matter in return, and that's called interest. Now, certainly the Islamic world charges interest when they make investments, especially in the West. And I'm one who actually supports a cap on interest that can be charged. And our
you mean going back to the usury laws?
Did just that. They had usury laws, and no state in the union was allowed to had a right to prevent banks or other lenders from charging more than 6% interest. I thought that was very fair.
Yeah, I remember when they dropped it from 10%. I was running a business in Michigan back, and it must have been around 73 or 74. The usury laws capped out at 10% during that hyperinflation in the Nixon administration. They had to do
it.
Now
it's
up
to something like 25%.
Yeah.
And
it's
you might as well go to a loan shark than borrow from certain credit cards. There's no question about that.
Well, I think David in San Francisco had some good points. Mark in Dallas, you wanted to kick in your two cents here. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom? I usually am capable of containing myself, but I'd like to reach the phone and squeeze Chuck Norris's throat, metaphorically speaking. I get so tired of hearing the Republicans badmouth Clinton. Bush has now been in office for over 2 years, and look what we've got. I've been unemployed for 35 months, two college degrees, DD-214, commercial pilot. Bush's economy is in the tank, period, end of statement. My comment on Clinton is this. I don't begrudge Clinton one bit finding a way to go to college. The man is super bright and super intelligent. Mm-hmm. Bush is stupid. He's an idiot. It's obvious in everything that he says. It's
just a rhetorical device that plays well with the voters. And our war on illiteracy and our war on poverty, LBJ certainly did the war on poverty, and that bin Laden, and you did a very good job of reading his position, and he's basically a religious fundamentalist, he is not a nation. He was not representing Saudi Arabia, where he's from.
You know, with all due respect, you're dealing in old-fashioned 19th century concepts of nationhood. This is a different situation now, and it's at a great risk that we don't recognize that and recognize it quickly. This is a war, whatever they want to call it. And
but my point, Chuck, is that
movement, and it's a more deadly war than the war that the communists or the Nazis engaged against us because of modern technologies. And because these people have even less conscience and less sense of humanity than the communists or the Nazis.
I would suggest, Chuck, that kind of thinking is going to make it even worse. Because what that does is it acknowledges and empowers these guys who are actually just criminals.
What do you think these guys did? You sound like they were pickpockets.
It's a mafia. It's a giant mafia.
You saw what was the equivalent of an Auschwitz. A mass murder that is unprecedented in the history of this planet in terms of a one-day, one-moment, one-location killing. This wasn't a crime. This wasn't like a bunch of people picking somebody's pockets.
No, this was one of the most horrific crimes that's been created in a long time,
Chuck. International network to destroy not only the United States, but the entire non-Muslim West world. And I'm saying that not because this isn't me saying it. This was bin Laden in the
quote. But he's a guy. He's not a country, Chuck. He's not a country.
Look, I mean, we're going to go round the robin on this.
Yeah,
again.
Okay. Then let's stop right there, and we'll just agree to disagree.
Recognize modern realities. We no longer have countries that are simply little old-fashioned border-contained entities. We have now an international war.
Okay, I got your point, Chuck. Chuck, hang on just a second. Chuck. Okay, I got your point. I think people have got my point. We got Brian in Santa Fe on the phone, and we need to move along here. Brian, I'm not sure what you wanted to talk about. I just have Brian in Santa Fe opinion for Chuck. Welcome to the program here, Brian.
Good to talk to you, Tom and Chuck.
Thank you.
Of course, it's hard catching up because you're on hold for 5 minutes and you guys move on a little bit, but that's fine.
That's okay. We can come back.
Okay. I just wanted to point out to Chuck, and this is the thing that infuriates me, to no end with conservatives and their attacks on liberal positions. It wasn't, 5-8 years ago that we were being pounded with this concept of rule of law, meaning that everybody, obviously, has to abide by the law in this country or they pay consequences. Now, George Bush was AWOL. He did not serve. He went AWOL. That's illegal. He abrogated the ABM Treaty, which was law of the land as stipulated by our Constitution, and now he wants to abrogate the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty by building battlefield nukes. These are illegal actions. The war in Iraq was an illegal action. Now, why aren't the conservatives harping about rule of law these days?
Chuck, why not?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to go back and recount the issue of Bush's war record. I don't know the rules of that. But as far as international treaties are concerned, President Bush informed President Putin that he was no longer going to be honoring that treaty, that he wanted to change the treaty, and Putin agreed with him. Those were antiquated treaties dealing with a time that is no longer there because the communist Soviet Union collapsed.
Yeah, okay. Chuck, thank you. And Tony, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Jeff in Denver wants to ask Chuck a question. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello.
Oh, that was Jeff in Denver. Sorry. We've got Tony. No? We got Tony in D. Oh, we got Tony in D.C. I'm sorry. I've got these things. Jeff. Okay. Welcome, Jeff. Jeff, to the program. You've got a question for Chuck.
Yeah, a little flustered today because as a regular listener of the show, it's really interesting because I respect you a lot, Tom, and that.
Thank you.
It's not a show of argument. It's a show of discussion. But today is just really kind of bizarre. It's so different. And that, you know, see, Chuck, I have not heard you actually answer a question yet. You sideslip things. You don't, you know, I say, oh, I'm not going to address that. Or you revert to name calling. And it's
I feel I've answered every question. But
no, you haven't. You say, oh, I'm not going to address that issue.
I'm not going to address the conspiracy, cockamamie conspiracy theory that I don't have the information in front of me on. No.
No, well,
I'm not in a position to.
Well, you haven't addressed, but you just revert to name calling and you avoid these issues. Like some of these, like if you're here, supposedly, someone who is, you know, like you're writing this book, you have to know things. How can you not know information about Bush and his record of lack of service for this nation?
I said that he tended to get a pass during Vietnam.
You also interrupt people and don't let people talk.
I'm not here to apologize for George W. Bush or anyone else.
You avoid the issues, though.
No,
you interrupt people constantly.
Absolutely false.
We're
not doing an O'Reilly show.
Yeah,
here,
look,
so,
as
we're
as
trying
I said,
to have a discussion here, but you don't discuss things.
I have answered it. I've said that rich fellows during the Vietnam War tended to get a pass, especially when their fathers were senators or congressmen, and Bush was so no different than anyone else.
And then you went on to say Bush became a competent fighter pilot, which is factually not correct.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but my understanding is that he is a competent fighter pilot. I'll stand corrected.
But
he learned how to fly a trainer, and he got the lowest possible ratings and was not allowed to continue flying.
Do you think that someone is, like, this is, we can deal with many, many issues, but in just this one issue, do you think...
We got about 10 seconds here,
Jeff. Someone who is the President of the United States, who actually didn't go AWOL, he deserted, do you think that's an important issue?
If that's true, then yes, it is an important issue.
Great. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Chuck, stay with us, and all of our listeners, stay with us. Tony in Washington, we'll be back to you. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No! I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, it's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem.
If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now. Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say...
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. We've got we've got Tony in Washington, D.C., and Pat in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we've only got about 3 minutes here, folks, so both of you had a comment or a question for Chuck. Jeff, you're first. Tony, you're first. Go ahead. Okay. Tony in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it, but just going to make it real quick. How can you have a person who was on the CIA's payroll with Saddam Hussein, who was on a payroll since 1959, and all of a sudden you say he's an enemy when there was Saudi Arabians that did most of the damage? And also, would you please answer how come we only put in $3 million into the investigation, but we spent $70 million over a affair that a president had to do, that Clinton had to do with an affair that had nothing to do with national policy? And also, this current administration is suppressing that information. Thank you so much.
Yeah, some good points, Tony. Let's take Pat's call from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then we'll let Chuck respond to both of them. Pat, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Pat Hello. In Santa Fe.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, is that Pat in Santa Fe?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the program. We've just got a couple of minutes left, so if you can quickly put your question out here, and we can give Chuck a chance to answer it.
Sure. Wondering if Chuck, how much safer Chuck feels since we went to war in Iraq. I mean, it was all about the safety of this country. They were about to attack us. I mean, does he feel that much safer than he did before the war?
Great. Okay, thank you, Pat in Santa Fe. Chuck, your comments on Tony's comments and on Pat's comments in the last minute and a half that we have here.
Well, in the first comment, it is true that in the 1960s, the CIA under Lyndon Johnson helped the Ba'ath socialists come to power in Iraq and overthrow the regime of Qasem, mainly motivated by the fact that Qasem was perceived to be moving into the Soviet orbit. That was part.
Well, and also the Shah had fallen.
Excuse me?
And there was also that little problem of the Shah of Iran being unreliable.
That's a later issue. I'm talking about Iraq right now.
Yeah, but
was done within the context of the Cold War with the fear that Iraq, with its mass oil reserves, was going to fall under the control of the Soviet Union. Now, as far as whether I feel safer today, yes, I feel safer today. Since 9/11, there has not been a terrorist attack, and God willing, there will not be on American soil. I think the administration deserves a lot of credit for that. And also, yes, I am proud of the fact that the United States
Chuck,
has taken an aggressive stand around the world against Islamic terror.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck Morse, ChuckMorse.com. Thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate it. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania, will be back to you after the break. Stick around. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Despite renewed terrorist fears, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge says the U.S. is safer now than it was before the 9/11 attacks. Ridge testified on Capitol Hill.
Today we are significantly safer than we were 20 months ago. We are safer because, as a nation, we are more aware of the threat of terrorism and much more vigilant about confronting it.
Is the U.S. really safer? One congressional Democrat muttered, barely safer, not much. Ridge's comments come amid a new alert issued by the FBI to law enforcement agencies throughout the country that warn of likely terrorist attacks here in the U.S. Meanwhile, Saudi and U.S. officials are warning that Al-Qaeda plans to launch more terrorist attacks against the U.S. or U.S. interests overseas. In the wake of last week's simultaneous attacks on compounds housing foreigners in Saudi Arabia, officials are acting now to prevent more attacks there. Laura Iyama reports.
The U.S. is closing down its embassy and consulates in Saudi Arabia at least through the weekend. In the words of Saudi Arabia's ambassador to Washington, Prince Bandar bin Sultan, my gut feeling is that something big will happen either in Saudi Arabia or America. Mr. Bandar says intelligence reports show high levels of chatter. Saudi Arabia has vowed to step up security measures to prevent further attacks, adding that progress in Israeli-Palestinian peace efforts would remove one major cause for the violence. The Saudi official says before last week's bombings, at least three Al-Qaeda cells were operating in Saudi Arabia, and some fled to the U.S. and Europe shortly before the attacks. Laura Iyama, Washington.
President Bush has spoken with the newly installed Palestinian prime minister in an effort to keep the region's roadmap for peace on track amid intensified violence. The White House described the phone call between the two leaders as friendly and hopeful. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 26 points, NASDAQ up 4 points, and S&P up slightly.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allevert.
New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like...
Belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a...
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Terry Nichols is expected to enter a plea today on state murder charges stemming from the Oklahoma City bombing. Nichols has been ordered to stand trial on 162 counts of murder for his role in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. He is currently serving a federal life sentence for the killings of 8 federal agents in the blast. Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson is offering a grim picture for the U.S. and Europe regarding the deadly SARS virus. Thompson says that by the end of the year, Europe and the U.S. are likely to record deaths from the respiratory illness that has killed nearly 700 people across the globe.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Internet users are being warned of a new computer virus disguising itself as a message from Microsoft Support Services. The computer worm is able to email itself using the addresses on your computer if you open it. It began as a trip to Hollywood for dozens of contestants, and this week only one will stand on the stage as the American Idol. Terry Cordingly reports.
Well, 2 begins tonight on Fox and concludes Wednesday during a 2-hour special. It's down to the final 2 contestants, the Velvet Teddy Bear, Ruben Studdard of Birmingham, Alabama, and Clay Aiken of Raleigh, North Carolina, who works with autistic children. Who do the fans think should win?
Ruben. He's better than him, Clay. He sings better than him.
Clay all the way, baby!
The winner gets $1 million recording contract and a shot at fame and fortune. We'll learn the name of the winner Wednesday night on Fox. I'm Terry Portingham.
And I'm Monica DeSantis. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, also carried on Sirius Satellite, channel 145, and streamed from the web at www.ieamericaradio.com. Also from radiopower.org, rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. You'll find links to all of that from tomhartman.com. Also on tomhartman.com, I think we've fixed our chat room. It's a little more complicated, but it's very, very reliable. For many years, I've run the International Trade Forum on CompuServe back 15 years ago or more. A friend of mine in New York started a little business importing things from Asia and whatnot, and we were in the business of international trade, and so we went to CompuServe and said we'd like to start this forum. And I've been running this thing for years and years. It's kind of a hobby. And the International Trade Forum has a very robust conference room attached to it. So if you go to tomhartman.com and click on message board, it'll take you to our message board for this radio program, and for some of my books, and you'll find thousands of messages published there, and about 100 just from the last week of the show. And if you click on the link that says chat room, it will take you to the International Trade Forum, and then if you have an AOL or CompuServe screen name and know your password, you can just get in immediately. If not, you can just sign up for one. There's no charge, no credit card, you won't be hustled in the future or anything like that. You can just come up with some name and attach a password to it, and it'll get you in. And then just click on the chat button, and that'll evoke the chat applet. And I will monitor that, and I will be monitoring that during this program and all of our future programs, although I can only really read it during the breaks. So if you want to post something there, I'll read it during the breaks. We have a pile of email. Some of it has to do with this article that I wrote on www.commondreams.org, the Common Dreams News Center, one of the best progressive news sites out there. Common Dreams, excellent. Buzzflash.com, excellent. OpEdNews.com, one of the new ones, run by my friend Rob Call in Pennsylvania. It's a remarkable website. It's quite a variety now of places where you can find good, solid, factual news and progressive op-ed pieces. And so I wrote this piece for Common Dreams talking about how at this convention that I was at over this weekend, this talk put on by Talkers Magazine, is kind of the talk radio industry thing, one of the vice presidents at Clear Channel came out and said that Clear Channel, you know, this big industry giant that has over 1,200 stations from coast to coast, is thinking about putting some liberal talk show hosts on the air. And that they understand, as I had suggested back last year in an op-ed I wrote for Common Dreams called Talking Back to Talk Radio, that they understand that in order to do progressive talk radio, you really have to do it all day long. That if you take a progressive and you sandwich him in between two conservatives, as has been tried a number of times, basically people listening to conservative talk radio just want to hear conservative talk radio. It's sort of like people listening to country music just want to hear country music. And if you put an hour of rock and roll in the middle, you just turn off your audience. And so they're looking at that. And I thought that the timing of that was fascinating, that we're right up, you know, that last week, Colin Powell's son, Michael Powell, the head of the FCC, had come out and said that he's pretty much definitely going to vote on June 2nd to further deregulate the industry, which is going to mean big bucks for Clear Channel. So now they don't have to, I mean, he didn't say this, but this is my opinion. Now Clear Channel and some of the other big media companies don't have to essentially suck up to the Bush administration as they did in their coverage of the Iraqi conflict and things like this. Instead, they can get back to the business of making money. And there is a huge unserved market out there. So that was the point of my article in short form. We're going to talk about it at some length tomorrow, actually. But I got some interesting email about it today that I thought I would share with you. This is from Jim in Glen Allen, Virginia. He says, "Dear Tom, your article failed to mention that O'Reilly radio program is the same time slot as Rush Limbaugh in many markets. I pointed out that O'Reilly is crashing and burning in some markets." And I actually said in Limbaugh-dominated markets, so Jim hadn't read the article very carefully. And I suggested that's an indication that right-wing talk radio has reached a market saturation point. Anyhow, Jim says this fact, rather than the lack of interest in the conservative format, explains O'Reilly's lack of traction. That and the fact that O'Reilly gets on my nerves, like I'm sure he does to many. And then Jim really rolls it out. He says, go ahead, bring on liberal talk radio. Should be interesting. Doubt it'll work. People see through the liberal arguments, lies, and omissions. I also disagree that liberal talkers failed when sandwiched between conservatives because people only want a single format on their station of choice. They failed because the contrast between facts and liberal tribal knowledge is glaring. Phil Donahue may have been the highest rated show on MSNBC. I don't know whether or not this is true, but that makes him a giant among pygmies. Big deal. He's washed up. His ideas are washed up. The only way you could get me to listen to that blowhard is to bind and gag me. Lee loved the Whopper. Even BBC director was shocked while in the United States by how unquestioning the broadcast news media was during this war. BBC's coverage was blatantly anti-war and was caught in many lies and distortions to promote that agenda. Not news reporting, plain old editorializing and misrepresentation of the facts. Even the British troops stopped listening to them. And then he wraps it up by saying, I got tired of your article, so I won't go on. In conclusion, bring it on. In the marketplace of ideas, liberals are selling spoiled milk and moldy bread. I wonder what your thoughts might be on Jim in Glen Allen's comments. I got a senator, Senator Patrick Leahy sent me an email. I had contacted him. I encourage you to contact your senators about whatever legislation is on your mind or of concern. In this case, I contacted him about the upcoming FCC deregulations, and he said, this is Senator Patrick Leahy, my senator. He said the 1996 Telecommunications Act, however, contained provisions limiting the power of the FCC to regulate the consolidation of media ownership. This, Leahy says, was one of the many reasons that I raised concerns that this act would not be beneficial for Vermont or our nation. In the end, I was one of five senators who voted against the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And he goes on to say he's watching very carefully what Powell does and is very concerned about this. Interesting. Well done. Brett Lewis, he doesn't give a city. He says, he wrote me an email. He says, Mr. Hartman, I hate to burst your bubble, but the reason there is no liberal talk has nothing to do with some mystical stranglehold the evil Republicans have on the national media. Liberal talk radio hosts have not been and will not be successful due to the nature of the medium. First, they have the problem of making emotional arguments that can then be rebutted by facts from the listeners, if there are any. They have two options. They can either take calls only from other liberals, which makes for an even more boring and less provocative show, or they can take calls from people toting facts to back up their arguments and then sound ridiculous on the air. Liberals in all forums usually choose the former, which is why no one is listening. Secondly, you have to have a demographic to target your show to be successful, and liberal America simply doesn't listen to the radio, no matter who is talking. Can you believe this guy? It takes a thoughtful individual to listen to talk radio, and while there are, of course, thoughtful, albeit wrong-headed liberals in the world, there simply aren't enough to make up a listening audience for a radio show. Why do you suppose that Donahue was being pummeled by Bill O'Reilly? Well, I would suggest that it's because Donahue had only been on the air a few months, and Bill O'Reilly had been on the air for years, and Bill O'Reilly was being promoted by millions of dollars from Fox, and Donahue was not. But anyhow, he says it's because more people are out there watching news programs in primetime than conservatives. Tom, your liberal pals are watching American Idol and Survivor, just as they're listening to pop music instead of talk radio. And his rant continues. I won't inflict the rest of it on you. Although he does end it by saying, thank you for your time and attention, Brett. You're welcome, Brett. Richard pointed out that Phil Graham is the right-wing Texan. Yesterday I kept referring to Phil Graham. I meant Bob Graham. My apologies. Thank you for that. Ken from Massachusetts. I'll interrupt my news report here on the email. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Ken.
Hi, Tom. Boy, that Brett is full of it, isn't he? I tell you, Limbaugh doesn't make emotional arguments. Give me a break.
Right.
This, by the way, I wanted to thank you for that first article that you wrote. This was before you were on this time slot, and I hadn't heard you before. I emailed that all over the country to everybody I knew, and I told them, I said, I had been in radio for about 5 or 6 years or so, and I even was a program director for a while. And you hit the mark exactly. It's one of these things. The reason why there is no liberal talk is because program directors and managers won't give it the right chance. And
well,
they write
haven't
a lot of
given
coverage.
It the right chance. Yeah, they, I, I think it's just that they haven't. I also, maybe we share some background. I started in radio in 1968. I was a country and western DJ, and then I went to doing Drake Format Top 40, did a progressive all-night show, and then I went into news, and I did news for 7 years on the radio, and some little bit of talk, and this was back in the late 60s, early 70s, and right up to 1978, and actually ended up as program director of a station in northern Michigan, WNBY. And so when I looked at the situation last year, actually I've been thinking about it for a couple of years, it just seemed to me that what was going on was that nobody had been programming progressive talk radio, and at least broadly. I mean, IE America is now doing it, and we're starting to get a good response to it, and I think that, you know, I think you're right, Ken.
Well, one of the problems, of course, with that is that and it just depends on how fast the serious stuff takes off. I'm hoping that, you know, the predictions are correct, that it is going to take off, maybe even kill AM. I'm a little skeptical. I just wish that IE America had a little more actual on-air presence.
Yeah, well, we're working on it. We're aggressively working on that. We're going to, we being both this program and the network, we're going to be running advertising in some of the media that goes out to the rest of the industry, and word is spreading. And are you listening on Sirius, by the way, Ken?
Yes, I am, absolutely. Matter of fact, I had to turn off the radio. This is kind of an odd note for those of you who may have Sirius. At least I have found, and it could be my phone, but I have found that when I love the Sirius radio, but if I try to call a Sirius talk show with a Sirius radio on, there's something funky there that interferes with it.
Oh, that's interesting. It could just be the cell phone. The satellite radios are transmitting up in the two and a half to three gigahertz frequency range, which I think is in the neighborhood of cell phone frequencies, so that might be why.
That's possible.
Yeah. Ken, any final points?
Excuse me?
Was there another point you wanted to make, or does that
happen? No, basically that is. I just want to thank that article, and I'll Great. Continue listening.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And back to the email just real quickly. We have a fellow, Dave, who said, your show is great. I like watching the media. I thought this was really good. He says, I like watching the media for what I think of as ripples in the matrix, stories that don't make sense or have an alternative meaning. A great example was when CNN reported that Abu Nidal was found dead in his Baghdad apartment from several gunshot wounds in an apparent suicide. That doesn't even make sense. How many shots does it take to commit suicide? Later, I found out CNN's source was Israeli Armed Forces Radio. And he goes on, For a moment, we can see through the hype and understand the politics behind the news. I think this kind of news analysis is what draws people to talk radio. Everyone knows they're not hearing the whole story on TV. Thank you, Dave, for that comment. I appreciate it. Kendra in Atlanta says, I'm really enjoying your show. Thank you, Kendra, for your comments. We've got a couple more here. I don't want to drag these out, though. I want to get back to the topic at hand. Will the Bush tax cuts for millionaires harm democracy? We'll get into that right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Tom Hartman Democracy Zone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
I say it's like fire.
No, I'd say blowtorch.
I describe it this way. Oh.
They're talking about the burn of indigestion and pain. How can you cool the burning fast? With Alka-Seltzer. Effervescent Alka-Seltzer is ready to go to work instantly to cool the burn of indigestion and pain fast. Alka-Seltzer, with the refreshing lemon-lime taste. Nothing cools the burn of indigestion and pain faster. Use as directed.
Your
you're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Who says George W. doesn't love working people? I saw him hug one. The occasion was yet another Bush photo op, this one in Little Rock at a pep rally to cheer George's plan to give at least $500 billion from our public treasury to America's richest people. The Arkansas Republican Party handpicked the cheering audience for the event, and as the TV cameras rolled, a worker was brought on stage for George to hug. Why a worker? It's part of the Bushite flimflam trying to deceive we the people into thinking that while this massive giveaway of public funds actually would go into the silk pockets of the wealthy, it's really being done for us, or, as Bush said at the stage media event, for the American worker. Workers sure could use a break. Since Bush took office, 2.6 million jobs have been lost, long-term unemployment is up by 184%, an additional 2 million Americans have no health insurance, wages are stagnant, pensions are being eliminated, and more corporations are abandoning America to exploit cheap labor abroad. But instead of simply putting money directly into the hands of the workers by, say, requiring corporations to pay a living wage or by cutting the payroll taxes that workers and small businesses pay, the Bushites are practicing the same old trickle-down economics that George's daddy once ridiculed as voodoo. Fatten the rich, goes this bankrupt theory, and they'll buy more luxury SUVs, causing more auto workers to be hired and, trickle-trickle, the economy to be stimulated. But wait, the rich are few in number and will only buy so many SUVs. Besides, most SUVs aren't made in the U.S., so there won't be any trickle-down on American workers, nor any stimulus for our economy. This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush should have been hugging a Wall Street speculator, for that's his true love. Bush's economic stimulus is a fraud. The rich get the money, the rest of us get a made-for-TV hug. Try taking that to the bank.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network on Sirius Satellite Channel 145 on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and rebroadcast on RadioPower.org. We have Dean in Santa Fe, New Mexico, wants to discuss liberal radio. Welcome to the program, Dean.
Thank you very much, Tom. And, you know, it's funny, that argument about no one wants to listen to liberal radio. I grew up around the radio industry. My dad owned a couple of stations in Cincinnati and San Diego, and actually had quite a bit of success when he switched one station from a, well, I helped him because I was working for him at the time, switched it from a very lame kind of AM station playing very pop, top 40, to one that was really progressive. I mean, we were doing anti-war, this is back in the late 60s, anti-war collages, you know, with Westmoreland's voice and then the Doors song or the Tim Buckley song Against the War, and had a phenomenal response. It was an a shaped kind of signal, you know, wasn't it was one of those quirky patterns, but in San Diego it did really well. And yet several months ago, last year, I actually went to him because I was I talked to some people at IE Radio here about possibly selling, because I believe so strongly in what this network is trying to do, and people like yourself and Mike Malloy and Peter Werby. And, you know, I went to him thinking I could get some ideas from him. And the first thing he says, oh, no one wants to listen to liberal radio. And he just started mumbling, and he wouldn't even address the questions I wanted, which were really kind of nitty-gritty about how to sell this and how to present some ideas to the GM of IE Radio and so forth. I work in the magazine industry, and I work for a distributor who specializes in working with kind of alternative stores, like some of these two big natural foods chains across the country, and many co-ops and bookstores. And our title is
niche marketing.
Yeah, it's niche marketing. It's filled with off the grid kind of political titles and lifestyle titles, and titles that empower people. And we have a phenomenal business. And
yes.
I know the market is out there. The people want to hear stuff that's different from the normal things. It's out there.
I agree, Dean. I absolutely agree. I thank you for calling and appreciate your feedback. I absolutely agree. In fact, tomorrow we're going to do an hour on this, on, you know, is there a market for progressive radio? What's going on in the radio industry? Are the conservatives right or wrong? And about the willingness of people to listen to progressive radio and all those kinds of things. I think it's a fascinating topic, and it's deserving of a little bit more attention than just a brief brush here. So we will spend some time on that in depth tomorrow. A couple of quick final emails here. This one I thought was really interesting. This is from Edward in Long Beach. He says, "Hey, Tom, am I the first person to realize the irony of learning within 1 week that chimps are actually a genus of Homo, meaning human?" I don't know if you saw this in the news, that this is in this week's Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which is the top scientific publication in the United States. You get published in there, you've made it. And scientists are suggesting that because we share 99 point something, either 4 or 7% of our DNA with chimps, and we and chimps have a larger difference in DNA with many of the other great apes, like gorillas and orangutans and things, that chimps are actually more closely related to us, or we're more closely related to them, or both, than either us or chimps are related to any of the other apes. So anyhow, he says, the first person to realize the irony of learning within 1 week that chimps are actually a genus of Homo, meaning human, and that AIDS cross-migrated into humans as a result of humans eating chimps. As gays have been vilified for causing AIDS, and vegetarians have been called idiots for declaring flesh-eating as unhealthy, and evolutionists called crazy for declaring chimps as close relatives, is it not time for meat-eating, fundamentalist, homophobic idiots to step up and admit that they are the real fools? A fascinating commentary there from Edward in Long Beach. Thank you very much. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back after this. Stick with us, and we're going to talk about Bush tax cuts.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Called Community Supported Agriculture helps personalize food production and keep small farms in business. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The average food item in a grocery store has been transported an average of 1,300 miles, more than most people travel in a month. Consumer advocate Cynthia Barstow says people can cut that fuel consumption by redirecting their food budget to the local community. Barstow says one option is called Community Supported Agriculture, or CSA. Consumers buy a stake in the annual harvest from a nearby farm.
You know, a CSA works very simply where you pay a certain amount of money up front at the beginning of the season, so the farmer has the money when he needs it the most to buy seed and to buy the things that he needs to cultivate the crops.
Barstow says community-supported agriculture creates business opportunities for smaller farms. Barstow is the author of a book called The Eco-Foods Guide. She's especially enthusiastic about community farms. Consumers that buy a share get a weekly box of fresh-off-the-farm produce starting in May or June. Members also get to know the people who grow the food, and they can get out onto the land. Barstow says most community farms have special days when members can visit and pick their own produce.
It's just this amazing opportunity to experience a farm without having to be a farmer yourself, to get that dirt under your fingernails and experience the earth and experience the fact that food comes from the earth.
Barstow sees a growing role for community-supported agriculture. The movement started in New England in 1986, and it's grown to more than 1,000 farms across the country. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. We've got David from Santa Fe, wants to talk about DNA and the chimps. Welcome to the program, David. Oh, he's gone. Okay. Sorry, he didn't hang on over the break. Okay, we're back to one last email here I just want to share with you. This is from Kendra. She says, I'm really enjoying your show, and this segues into our topic here. In the Wall Street Journal today, she says, they talked about the tax cut and the rewards to those who own dividends. What I can't believe is that more working class people aren't angry about this. Here we are working hard, some of us, full time while in school to better ourselves, and people who are controlling our money and who like to keep that money theirs are getting more money. I don't understand how this will boost the economy. Won't this take more money out of circulation? And she adds, I believe in competition, but this is just unfair. It's like giving the bully in the playground more stones to throw, except the bully keeps the stones and you still get hurt. And she wraps it up by saying, I think they should call this supply greed side economics. Thank you, Kendra in Atlanta. Excellent commentary. Excellent commentary. So a quick example of bias in the media. This is our media bias alert. USA Today ran an article saying U.S. challenges Europe's biotech crop ban in court. And if you read this article, this would be your understanding of what's going on. They say the United States will go to the world's trade court to challenge Europe's ban on genetically modified crops, a move likely to worsen transatlantic trade friction. They go on to add that the WTO requires countries banning goods to produce scientific research showing the products are harmful. Now, this is a real important point. Note this. The World Trade Organization says if you're going to ban something as a country, you have to prove that it's harmful. And then they go on to say the 15-nation EU has blocked most biotech food and grain imports from the United States, arguing there is no proof that they are safe. Now, that's a different criteria. This is called the something principle. I want to say discretionary. Anyway, it'll come to me when I'm trying to think of it. But the standard that's used in the European Union and most European countries is if you want to sell something for human consumption, you have to prove it's safe. The standard that the World Trade Organization uses and that the United States uses is that we won't regulate something until we can prove that it's harmful. And so this raises some significant questions. In the USA, 75% of our soybeans, 34% of our corn, 71% of our cotton is genetically modified. And the USA Today says up to 75% of the processed foods and grocery shelves in the U.S. contain genetically modified ingredients. But this doesn't tell the entire story. We'll get to that in just a second. David in Santa Fe is back on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, thank you, Tom. First of all, I'd like to say that your show is the most intelligent thing I've ever heard on talk radio.
Well, bless you, David. Thank you.
Both you and the callers. Great, great stuff.
Thank you.
I like
well,
it when
one
we
of them
can
now.
Really talk about what's going on instead of resorting to name-calling and stuff.
Yeah, name-calling doesn't generally work very well. It's
no.
Yeah.
So well, about the chimps and the DNA thing, I just heard a couple weeks ago about how everything in nature, plant or animal, evolves in the same way with cell division.
Right.
And it turns out that the first eight divisions of the cell have complete potential to turn into anything. It's only at the division when the 8 turns to 16 that the specific thing that it's going to become
yeah, this is
up.
Not of any cell. This is of specifically of ovum, of egg cells.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, you're talking about how stem cells are produced, and there's several different types of stem cells, and there are several different kind of levels of stem cells. Yeah, the first eight. I didn't know that it was specifically eight. I thought it might have been 32 or 64, but the first few divisions that occur once an egg is fertilized, any one of those cells can become any part of the egg. Yeah,
I could be wrong about it, but I thought it included the plant kingdom as well. Not that a human fertilization is going to turn into a plant, but that they follow the same kind of thing, that any kind of plant can turn into any kind of plant, but it happens at the 8 to 16
division. No, and any kind of cell can't turn into any kind of animal. Any kind of cell can turn into any organ in the animal. Basically, you've got the DNA in the nucleolus of the nucleus of the cell, and the DNA contains the entire blueprint of the entire organism. Every cell in your body has a strand of DNA, and actually has two, one you inherited from your mother, one you inherited from your father, two strands of DNA in it that reflect everything in your body. And so theoretically, any cell could become another identical you. And by changing the expression of different genes in those cells, it could even become a variation on you. In other words, if your blue eyes are being expressed from your mother, and your mother and your father had brown eyes, because brown is usually dominant, you'd probably have brown eyes. But it would be possible to suppress that brown-eyed gene and bring out blue eyes if you were to clone yourself. But that doesn't mean that you can become that another person or another species can come from your DNA. That doesn't work. So any cell, any stem cell has the potential to be any cell in the body. So you could take a cell, if you were to clone a cell from your body and you needed a new liver, you could create liver cells out of that. That's how it works.
Uh-huh.
For
well,
example.
I'm glad you're so well-versed on it. I need to learn more, but I was really surprised to hear that there was so much potential. And when you said the thing about we're close to chimpanzees, it seemed to make sense that, you know, things start out in a similar way, and then they veer off into what they're individually going to become.
Different school. So evolution seems to work is what's called punctuated evolution. Stephen Jay Gould proposed this in 1987, and it has essentially replaced Darwin's theory of gradual evolution over time. What Gould said was that there are these crises that occur, like, you know, volcanic activity all around the world that just kill off all kinds of species, and when there's only a very few of a particular species left, those among that few who carry a mutation that allows them to survive will then repopulate. So you have these bottlenecks, this, you know, punctuated, what's called punctuated equilibrium, punctuated evolution. And they're looking back now at times when there was great volcanic activity or tectonic activity as the punctuation points, as the transition points, which is why there's so few fossils of transitional species. Anyhow, David, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Stan in Birmingham, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yes, good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Stan, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I just had a few comments regarding the state of our democracy. I just wanted to say the most primary solution for reestablishing democracy is to create and maintain a highly intellectual society.
And this is Thomas Jefferson would have agreed with you.
Yeah, Jefferson, Madison, and Franklin were all in this same camp. presented this to us. We have this wonderful Constitution and Bill of Rights, but what is the main fuel that would operate that engine we call a Constitution and Bill of Rights? And the answer of Jefferson, Franklin, and Madison was that the development of a highly intellectual population was the most essential thing. And this same solution is valid today. All other secular solutions end up being like trying to repair a flat tire with chewing gum. So I submit to the audience that we must all get involved and present this question again to ourselves. How can we create a highly intellectual society?
Yes.
Failure to create and maintain a highly intellectual culture has been our most overwhelming mistake so far in this experiment we call democracy. But in retrospect, we can see where the combined collusion of corruption and big business and big government has conspired to keep us stupid. And I also wanted to point out that B.F. Skinner, the Harvard psychologist, in the aftermath of World War II, he did overwhelming destruction. The revolution he created did overwhelming destruction on our public schools.
Absolutely.
So this Harvard University, where he came from, and those Ivy League schools sponsored this revolution of anti-intellectualism that has polluted our public schools. The destruction of our public schools has come primarily from the so-called private sector and not the government sector. And I give you my reference, Vance Packard. The People Shapers by Vance Packard goes
and
into
the
a lot
persuaders
of information
that he also
about
wrote.
B.F. Skinner.
Yeah, thank you, Stan. I appreciate that. I agree with you. I've actually written a couple of books about this. In my book on equal protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, there's an entire chapter in there in which I quote extensively from Alexis de Tocqueville back in 1834 when he talked about how incredibly vital it was for American democracy to survive, that there be an educated class. I wouldn't call them necessarily an intellectual class, but that Americans have access to education, that people be fully educated. And in a couple of my books on attention deficit disorder, in particular Tom Hartman's Complete Guide to ADHD, I document how our schools have been devastated by the creeping corporatocracy, corporatization of our schools. Billy in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Oh, he's gone. Okay. He says, what attitude should we have with people who don't believe in education? I don't know. It's a tough one. So back to the story about the EU. The story, as it was published in pretty much all the American media, was that those dumb Europeans don't want our genetically modified foods because they're hysterical about it. And if they have any rationality at all, the rationality is around the principle of the least harm, that because these things haven't been proven safe, even though they haven't been proven dangerous, because they haven't been proven safe, they shouldn't allow them. Well, it turns out that that's really not what this is all about, and it's not what the lawsuit is all about. And I found it interesting that only the Wall Street Journal actually reported what's going on, and even they buried it way back in the story. This was last Wednesday, and the article is, U.S. contests Europe's ban on some foods. Suit on modified crops is filed with the World Trade Organization. And they point out, quote, the U.S. claims there is a so-called moratorium, but the fact is that the EU has authorized GM varieties in the past and is currently processing applications, said Pascal Lamy, the top European trade official. So what is the real U.S. motive in bringing a case? Now, this is where it gets interesting. What's the real... Why is the United States suing the European Union in the World Trade Organization over genetically modified foods when, it turns out, the EU has actually been approving genetically modified foods for distribution to their people? And that this isn't about the what you call it principle, the, you know, being careful. In fact, they say here the EU instituted a new regulatory system that has approved two applications with others pending. So then we get to what this is really about. And I quote from the Wall Street Journal, the European Union is demanding the genetically modified food be labeled as such. That's it. They also want to be able to trace the origins of the food's ingredients and are near completion of new legislation to require both. The United States opposes any labels and tracing mechanisms, saying they are too costly and impractical. We got a lesson of this here in Vermont. Some years back, Ben and Jerry's ice cream folks were buying, they put the word out, there's a lot of cows here in Vermont, they put the word out that they only wanted to buy milk from dairy farms that didn't use bovine growth hormone injections, and they put it on their labels, made from cows that are not taking RGBH. And the FDA stepped in and said, you can't say that there's not RGBH. In other words, you can't label because it makes all the other milk look bad. So that's what this is really about. Brian in Portage, Indiana, has a geologist comment. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going,
What's on
Tom?
Your mind, Brian? I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Well, I just heard your little discussion on Gould a minute ago, and had a couple quick points to make on that.
Okay.
All right. Well, one of the things you said was that, I heard a Limbaugh talking about something like this one time, so I always get infuriated when I hear a host mess up anything in geology. That's my field.
Okay.
So,
correct me then, please.
All right. Well, you said that Gould's theory kind of overran Darwin's theory of gradual change. That's only partially right, because when you actually look at it, gradual change still happens. And And you still get even gradual change being the driving force behind Gould's theory, too.
Yes.
You kind of suggested that it was more of a catastrophic theory, that it involved a volcano or some sort of major event like that.
Well, in terms of human evolution, I have a book coming out this fall called The Edison Gene, and I extensively interviewed a couple of scientists who are working on this, Robert Moises of the University of California, Irvine, who published a piece in the journal Nature and a piece in the Journal of the National Academy of Sciences about tracking back the dopamine receptor genes, the DRD4 gene, to 40,000 years ago in American history, or in world history, and also talked to Stephen Ambrose, the guy who just discovered the ostrich shell beads in Africa that are 40,000 years old, the earliest evidence of non-utilitarian events, and then talked to a geologist at the University of Maine, Greg Zavinsky, I think his name is, who was one of the people who were doing the ice core drilling in Greenland, and they've got this enormous tectonic volcanic event around 40,000 years ago that seems to have produced a bottleneck in human evolution. And there are a lot of these bottlenecks now being identified, and as they're able to track back the genome, they seem to correlate with bursts in human evolution. I agree with you. Darwin's working with the finches on the Galapagos, and he observed as the small beaks, as they ate all the small seeds, and the large beaks came in and ate the large, and back and forth. And that kind of stuff still happens.
Well, actually, I mean, if you take a look at those finches, it was pretty much that Gould was just saying what Darwin saw there just as much. Because what Gould's theory says is that you get a population that's isolated, it's more likely that they're going to diverge because it'll be a smaller population and that's easier for mutations to arise and they're a lot more likely
bottleneck.
To get included.
Yeah, it's its own bottleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it didn't have to be just a catastrophic thing. That was the point I just wanted to make.
Okay. Your point is well taken, Brian, and thanks. I appreciate people keeping me honest here. Since
actually, it fits in a lot to the GM debate also, because when you have fun with it, who knows what, when you start playing around with genes, who knows what happens when you put those in an environment and expose them to selective forces.
There you go. You're absolutely right, Brian. This is something that we need to be concerned about. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick around. We'll be back in a few moments.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
I'm on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Photographer's smile, take a break for a while, take a risk, do your very best, take 500.
Glad to be alive. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thomas Paine in 1796 said, "I care not how affluent some may be, provided that none be miserable in consequence of it." Is economics a zero-sum game? We'll dig into that a little bit tomorrow. We were going to talk about the real conservative agenda today. What is really behind the tax cut program? It's really not about cutting taxes. But we've only got about 2 minutes here left in this hour, so I want to do the subject well. So we'll dig into this tomorrow. European officials, just wrapping up this thing on the EU's limits on genetically modified foods, The Wall Street Journal says European officials lashed back at the administration. This is the Bush administration today, refusing to be blamed for blocking genetically modified food aid and reminding the United States that it had refused to join 100 other countries and sign the Cartagena Protocol on biosafety. That agreement set out rules for exporters and importers of genetically modified crops to provide the proper information about the food and animal feed. The real issue, it turns out, and you won't find this anywhere in the American press except the Wall Street Journal, and this is not an advertisement for the Wall Street Journal, because they more often than not have the same kind of bias, particularly with issues that have a political spin to them, a right-left political spin to them, that all the other press does. But they did, by accident or by design, you know, I don't know, whatever, they did a nice in-depth story here by Elizabeth Becker about what's really going on in this lawsuit that the United States has launched through the World Trade Organization against the European Union. And it turns out it's that the big food companies, the giant multinational American food corporations, do not want to have to put on their labels for products shipped to Europe that the products contain genetically modified ingredients. They have already successfully gotten such legislation passed in the United States. They do not have to label these things. We are eating them every day and don't know it. And as one of our callers pointed out, this raises some real significant questions. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow with more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Thank you very much for joining us. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.